Now we're holding on page Chof Gimel in Psachim, about 10 lines from the bottom, still the middle of Ois Mem Vav. We're in the middle of talking about various things involving Shadim and Kishuf that a person might be susceptible to and how to counteract them. So before we learned last time that you have situations involving an Isha where it can create problems. You're not allowed to have an Isha walk between two men, or one man walking between two Noshim, and and then certain psukim that you should say if it does come out that way. So now the Gemara continues. So about 7 or 8 lines from the bottom, actually, Hani Tauti Noshi. Hani Tauti Noshi Diyasmin Parshas Drachim. If you have two women who are sitting at a crossroads, Chode Bahai Gisa Shvila, the Chode Bahai Gisa, one sitting on each side of the path, or Miskavnan Apayu Lahadadi, and they're facing directly towards one another, Hani Vade B'Kshofin Askan. Then you have a good reason to be concerned that that they are involved in Kishuv. That's why they're sitting there at the crossroads, so that in order to be able to practice their Kishuv on anybody who comes by. Therefore, so Loy Lichlef B'nai, so don't pass between them, go around another way. My takante, so what should you do? If there is another road to take, lays above, then go on the other road, don't take a detour, don't go between them at all. If there's no other road to go on, then if there's another person with him, let them hold hands one with another and then pass by. That makes it that the kind of like you have the power of the two of them will help counteract the kishuv. Maybe it's al derech, like you have the expression from the Nebeim that when you have two Jews working together, you have two nefesh of the kis against one nefesh of Bahamas, because each nefesh of Bahamas looks out for itself. So therefore, that'll help counteract the power of these women's kishuv. The Eloi, and if not, if you don't have somebody else with you, name a hochi, then you should say the following lachash, the following spell. Aslas Igras, or Igras Aslas, Bas Machlas. Later on, further in the sugya about Shadim, it mentions Igras Bas Machlas is the queen of the Shadim. So here you're mentioning her as well as some other shed named Islas. Usia Blusia, and Usia and Blusia, which are names of other Shadim. So these are all the Shadim, which we're telling these women, all these Shadim that you're trying to enlist in your things, Miskatlan B'chetz Kaval, they've all been killed with a crossbow. And then the Gemara of the Gira says slightly different, b'chei kaval, but it means the same thing. Rashbam brings over here from a pasuk, we're talking about the fall of the city of Tsur, describing how Nebuchadnezzar is going to bring his army with catapults and crossbows and whatnot and knock down your walls. And therefore, so we say, we tell, in effect, we're telling these women, all these shadim that you're trying to enlist to help you with your kishuv, they're already dead. They've already been killed already with weapons, with a crossbow, and they're not going to be able to help you. Next, when a man meets up with a woman when she's coming up from Tevilas Mitzvah, so you see she's gone to the mikveh, and now he meets her on the way. So if between the two of them, if he ends up having relations with his wife before she does, then he will be seized by a spirit of znus. He's going to have a strong yetzer hara that's going to grab a hold of him and try to get him to engage in znus. And if she's the one who has relations with her husband first, then she's going to be the one who has that ruach znunim. Tosfos, by the way, points out, it's printed in the Gemara, not here, that you find in a Gemara where it says Rabbi Yochanan used to sit by the gates of the mikveh in order that this way, we learned it in Brachos, this way the women will see him when they come out, and this way they'll have beautiful children like him. Rabbi Yochanan, we find in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, was one of the most handsome people who ever lived. So how does that fit with over here? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that here we're talking about they meet each other on the road. Here he was sitting there. And another answer is that here we're talking about he sees her as she's coming out of the mikveh. You know, they didn't always have a mikvahs per se. Sometimes the women would have to toivel in streams or rivers or ponds or what have you. So it can happen that he meets up with her as she's coming out, where you know you can imagine easily enough how that's gonna bring about a ruach znunim. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan was sitting there by the gate and they were seeing him after they were fully dressed. Anyway, my takante, How do you fix up the situation? Le'mahach, you should say the following pasuk from Tilim. Shofech buz al nedivim. Hashem pours out scorn on the nedivim. On the nedivim means the nobleman, referring over here to this power of znus. Vayasem besoyhu loydorach, and Hashem makes them blunder in nothingness without a path. Now, Maharshal says, we're not really saying it as a lachash. What we're saying is that that posik has the power to weaken that sense of that taiva of znuni. In fact, Maharshal says, the remez, you have the word shofet buz. Buz stands for beis vov zayin. Now, we have nisach hamayim. We just finished Sukkos. You have nisach hamayim on the 7 days of Sukkos. Where is it merumas? So the Gemara mentions elsewhere, one way of understanding where it's merumas is you have extra letters in the psukim that talk about the korbanos of Sukkos. On the second day, you have an extra mem because it says v'niskei hem. On the sixth day, you have an extra yud on socheha. On the seventh day, you have an extra mem, kimishpatam, and that spells out mayim, and there's the remez. Those letters, beis, vav, 2, 6, and 7, are beis, vav, and zayin. Representing, in other words, here he has he's having to fight off this ruach znus that comes as a result of her having toiled in water. Therefore, you say shofech buz, that Hashem will counteract that with the power of the nisach hamayim, which is merumas with those days of Sukkos.
Two, six, and seven.
Because those are the days. All you do nisach hamayim all 7 days of Sukkos, but those are the days in which it's merumas. The mem, the yud, and the mem are merumas on those days. So therefore, like a power of nisach hamayim is associated with those numbers more than any other. There is, in fact, a Gemara elsewhere where one of the Tanoim, I think Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, says that you take a start nisach hamayim only on the second day because of that. Because you know you first have the remez to it on the second day. Now halacha is not like that, but you do have that that inyan. The Shach, by the way, now this the Shach brings this concept in his Pirush on Yerodeya at the end of Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches, which is all the dinim about Chatzitza and Tvila and about when she leaves the mikveh. You have the dinim over there. The first thing she should see when she comes out of the mikveh is a dover toher, and if she sees a dover tome, like a dog or whatever, then best she should go and tovel again, which is why we have a mikveh lady there, and therefore the first person she sees is a fellow Jew who's toher. But the Shach brings this Gemara over here. He mentions there's a different understanding. If you look in the notes on the side of the Gemara where it brings the sources for the Pesukim, it actually refers to not the Pesuk from Tilim, but rather a similar Pesuk in Iyov that also begins Shofech Buz on the Divim, but it continues with different words. Umziach Afikim Ripa. Hashem loosens the belt of the mighty ones. So apparently you have two different understandings which Pesuk the Gemara meant. Therefore, the Shach says, if you're in this situation, best say both Pesukim. Okay. Continuing on this topic of the danger of shadim, we digressed a little bit to talk about the danger of kishuf and in general certain dangers that come as a result of being around women, which can lead to a lack of tznius and therefore bring about an opening for koichas atumah. Now getting back to shadim, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv gamki elach begeitz amavus. What does it mean? The pasuk says, even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, loy ira ra, I won't fear evil ki ato imadi, because you, Hashem, are with me, very, very much as man groma currently. So what's the gates on Mavis? Means specifically, zah yoshin betzel deko yichidi. It refers to a person who sleeps in the shadow of a single palm tree, meaning there's no other palm tree around it, as we'll see in the Gemara in a minute what the definition of that is. And Maharsha points out, by the way, we learned earlier in the Masechta that we said simen la'amokim dekolim, a simen, how you know you're in the valleys is when you see palm trees growing, because they grow best in valleys and lowlands like that. Therefore, that's why the gates of specifically refers to the lowlands where you might find a single palm tree like that. Page 46. So that over tzel levona, also if a person sleeps in the shadow cast by the moon, over tzel deko. So those things, those are the gates on Mavis. And so Dovin HaMelech is saying until him. Nevertheless, even though a person is exposed to danger from shadim in those circumstances, but lo yiro rakiyate imadi. When a person realizes that the Eibishter is protecting him, then he has nothing to worry about. So tzel deko yichidi lo yamaron. What do we mean by the shade of a single palm tree? Only when the shadow of another palm tree doesn't fall on it. In other words, it's so far away from any other that the shadows of the other ones at night don't reach it. But if the shadow of another nearby palm tree falls on it, less than ba, then there's no problem, because the idea is, now we learned before that shadim tend to hang out around palm trees, but the point is, when there's another one near enough, the shadim won't hang around the one where this guy is sleeping under and end up being mazikim, they'll go to the other. Because in general, we find shadim do try to avoid people, unless, like we had before, for example, a person gets in their way or something. So therefore, as long as there's another nearby enough palm tree, then they'll just go to that and they'll leave him alone. So the Gemara asked, Ela Hadatanya, Hayoshin Betzel Deku Yechidi Bechotzer. What about that? We learn another braisa that says when a person sleeps in the shade of a single palm tree that's in a chotzer. Now, this second braisa is adding the detail about that it's in a chotzer. And it continues, Vayoshin Betzel Levono. He sleeps in the shadow of the moon. Domei Berosha, his blood is on his own head, meaning it's his own fault if anything happens to him. Heichi Domi. Well, why are we mentioning specifically a chotzer? What's the scenario? If it's so far away from any other palm tree that, as we said, the shade of another one doesn't fall on it, I feel about sodanami. The same thing's going to apply even if it's out in the field. Why mention dafka chotzer? Elalav shmamina b'chotzer. Evidently, it must be if the tree is in a chotzer. Afagav the nuffel tula de chavre ilavei. Even if there is another nearby palm tree whose shadow casts a shadow on it, then that's still dangerous. So the hayoshin betzel deku yichidi. There would be one of two things: either it's the only tree in a chotzer, or it's the only tree in a large area far enough from any other one that the shade of no other palm tree falls on it. Those two would be a place that's dangerous because of shading. Shmamina, okay, the Gemara says, fine, that proves it. Interesting to note, here we're saying that we've been talking about that shadim are attracted to palm trees. Soon we're going to talk about that they're also attracted to the shade of arava trees. We do those are two out of the four minim. So maybe there's the idea, in other words, that even though shadim have a certain affinity for them, but when we use them for purposes of kedusha, then that in fact gets rid of them. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkah actually mentions when one of the Amoraim, I think it was Rabbi Acha by Yaakov, when he would wave his lulav, he would say Gira be'ena de satna. This is like an arrow in Sutton's eyes. So those very same minim that we're saying over here that shadim have an affinity to, but when we use them as we're supposed to, and also representing among the many other things the achdus of the Jewish people and how we devote all of the parts of our body to avodah or whatever, then that becomes an arrow that gets rid of all of them. We shouldn't say that, the Gemara says, because pakeret, it may rate someone, it may provoke him to try to next, with Sila Shalavana Layamaran, what about when we said a person sleeps in the moonlight, in the shadow of the moon, the shadow of some object that's blocking the moonlight from him and casting a shadow? Layamaran Elabama Arab. That would only apply when the moon is in the west and it casts a shadow towards the east. So in other words, at the end of the month. It means that when the shadow is towards the west, at the beginning of the month, the moon is in more or less the same part of the sky as the sun. So the sun sets in the west, the moon rises, the moon also sets there in the west together with it. And therefore at night, when is the moon going to be visible at night? Will be in the west. So then it casts a shadow towards the east. So that's fine. But when it's the other way around, when the shadow is towards the east, there's no problem. So it's only towards the end of the month when the sun is when the moon rather is more visible in the west, when the moon is more visible in the east late at night, and you have cast a shadow towards the west, that's when it's dangerous. Gemara, the Mishnah in Yuma, by the way, mentions that one time it happened in the Beis Mikdash. Late in the month, the moon rose early in the morning, a few hours before sunrise, and they thought it was sunrise. Actually, so they thought it's time for the Korban Tamid, and then it turned out it's possible because they shechted it at night. From then on, that's when you had the system that I mentioned there in the Mishnah in Yuma, where they'd have to check Heyer Kol Pnei Mizrach, the whole eastern side of the sky lit up, and Ad Sheva Chevron to mention the schus of the Ovis in Chevron. So because that time of the month, you can have that kind of mistake can take place. So the early late in the month, then during the nighttime, the moon will be more on the east side. And that's when we're saying that's when it's dangerous. Okay, more things about palm trees. The Gemara says, "Hai man de mafne agir de dikla." When a person goes to the bathroom on the stump of a palm tree, after leilidi day ruach palga, he will be seized by a spirit of palga. Both Rashi and then Rashbam, they use different French words to translate it, but it comes out, it means paralysis. So the person gets some kind of becomes paralyzed, maybe temporarily only, but still. If he leans his head against the stump of a palm tree, then he gets seized by a spirit of tzroda. Here, Rashi and Rashbam both explain it means a migraine headache, a pain in half the head. Elsewhere, there's one in Chulin that also mentions ruach tzroda over there, and Rashi gives a different explanation over there. That it means a spirit that confuses his mind, that makes him go temporarily insane. And the Oruch gives yet another, that it means that his face twists up. Like you have, for example, something, sometimes people have a condition called Bell's palsy or something like that. So maybe it's something similar to that. Continues the Gemara. Haiman de pasi adikla. If a person steps over a stump of a palm tree, im niktal. If the tree had been chopped down, kotil. Then this person is going to get killed. He's putting himself in danger of being killed. I aker. And if the tree had been uprooted rather than being chopped down, mi aker umayis. Then this person is going to be uprooted and die. Hani mili de le manach kare ilave. However, that's only if he doesn't put his foot on the stump as he's walking over it. If he puts his foot on his stump, less one bottom, there's no problem, and he won't be in any kind of danger. Primarily, yeah, all of this was in olden times when there was more to be concerned about shadim. Nowadays, for the most part, nobody is worried about these things because, yeah, shadim, you have the different ideas. You have, I mentioned the other day, a vote from the Kotzker that the Rambam Paskin, the Rambam never talks about shadim in all of his Piskei Halacha. So that way, like, he denied that they should even have any legitimacy up the Halacha, and Halacha controls how things in the world. So therefore, that itself, you have the Baal Shem Tov, it says, got rid of them. The Gemara itself actually is going to mention later on that various Amiroyim limited the amount of time that shadim can be out and about. So yeah, nowadays we're really not nizher in any of these things. There's still obviously lessons of them, but I haven't really found them. The Mephoshim don't seem to talk about much what we can learn from these things. So I guess we kind of have to figure it out for ourselves. One possibility, you know, you have a tzaddik as compared to a palm tree, tzaddik katram yifrach. So here we're saying, now if a person just steps over it, he sees that tzaddik has passed away, and I'm just going to step over and go my way, I don't care about it, then he has problems. But if he puts his foot on it, meaning he recognizes that from the fact that tzaddik has passed away, I have to elevate myself and put myself on a higher level because of that, then less than ba, then he's sparing himself from any possible danger. I guess that's one possibility you could say, b'derech efshar. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Hamsha tula havi. There are five kinds of shades of trees that are dangerous. Now, the Gemara that we have in front of us is going to list only four of them. So they say, and in Kisveyad, you can find in Dukduke Seferim, they mention another one. They mention the shade of a fig tree. The four that we have here in the Gemara, Tula de Dikla Yechida, the shade of a single palm tree, like we said before. Tula de Kanda. The second one is the shade of a Kanda, which is Rashi just defines it as a type of tree. On the side over here, it brings that the Oruch has a different girsa, de Kinra, yet another kind of tree. Tula de Parcha. Then you have the shade of a Parcha, which is a slaff bush, which grows caper berries. Tula's de Zerabta. And the next one is the shade of a Zerabta, which is I don't remember what the name of it is in English. Rashi gives a French translation over here, but I don't remember what it is in English. So all of those, Ika de Amri, Tula de Arba, Tula de Arvasa, some say also the shade of a ship and the shade of an Arava tree. klala de milsa, the bottom line, the general rule, called the nafish anfe, any tree that has a lot of branches, koshe tule, then the shade of it is harmful because shadim tend to lurk under that thick shade. The called the koshe silve koshe tule, and anything that has hard wood, usually the silve, both Rashi and Rashbam translated over here as eitzai, usually the word silver in Gemara terminology means a thorn. So bapashtus we mean like spike, it's like wood that has spikes on it. Anyway, koshi tule, then the shade of it is bad because again, shadim tend to lurk under such trees. Levar mikru masha, with the exception of a type of tree called kru masha. The Oruch translates it as turmus, which on the face of it is we find in various places in Shas that turmus is a type of bean, although those don't grow on trees, those grow on some kind of low bush. The Oruch HaSholem explains that maybe based on understanding the Oruch's words a little differently. It's a tree. It's called in English a service tree. It grows not Meloshin service as in like you use it for services, but I don't know why it's called that. But it bears some kind of small fruit called sorb apples. Whatever. Anyway, so that's the exception. Even though the Afrikam de Koshi Silve, even though it has hard wood or sharp thorns, loy koshi tule, the shade of it is not bad for a person. Shadim don't lurk under such trees. De Amra la Shida Lebra, as we find in fact that a female shed says to her son, Pirchi nafshich mikrumasha, fly yourself away from the krumasha tree, de ihu de kotu lavuch, because it killed your father, the kotu lididei, and it'll kill you also if you hang around it. So there's something about that tree that is dangerous to shade. What it is, we don't know exactly. You know, it's also possible, of course, that what happened was the shed was killed for some unrelated reason, but, you know, sometimes you have people do this sometimes also, you know, they see that something happened and they generalize from it, even though without thinking what the actual possible causes are. So maybe this shed was the same way. Okay. Rav Ashi said, I saw my Rebbe Rav Kahana would stay away from the shades of all trees, even though we listed there's only five or six of them that are dangerous. He would be extra careful and stay away from the shades of any trees in case there are shadim lurking under them. Okay. The Gemara continues, Be Parchi, the shadim that you find by a parchi, which we said is a tzlaf bush, the name of them is Ruchi. The name of that type of shed is Ruchi, which means spirits. The Bei Zeradta, the ones you find under a Zeradta tree, are called Shida. L'may Nachdemina, and another one, Shida de Bei Igri, the ones that hang out on roofs are called Rishbi, which literally means like sparks of fire. So L'may Nachdemina, why is that important to know? L'kameya. It's important to know if you're writing a kameya, a person is in danger of such shading, he was attacked by them, for example. Somebody wants to write a kameya with names of Hashem and names of Malachim and whatnot to tell the shading to get out of there. He should know the right name or the type of shed to tell them that they have to move away. So the Gemara continues, the Bei Parchi, the ones that live by a tzlaf bush, Bria She'en La'inayim. Those shadim are creatures that don't have any eyes. L'may Nafkamina, why is that important to know? L'gzuzila, to run away. If a person is near a tzlaf bush and realizes that there are shadim over there and he's going to get attacked, all he needs to do is run away. Since they have no eyes, they're not going to be able to follow him. Zimna Chode, as we have the example, have a ozel tsurvim and abonan lafnuri lebei parchi. One time a young Talmud Chacham went to go to the bathroom by a tzlaf bush. Shama de ka'osa ilavei, so he heard a shed coming to attack him. V'gozila, and he ran away. Ki ozla, so now the shed is trying to follow him. As it tried to follow him, it hugged a palm tree, but Pashtus because it thought that the palm tree was him. Again, remember, it can't see. On the other hand, Rashi and the Rashbam have a girsa over here, nafka dikla, which means it tripped over a palm tree. Sovach dikla, the palm tree dried up, or pokahi, and the shed exploded. Or there's a girsa the other way around. Rashi has the girsa the other way around. Pokahi, but sovach dikla, the shed exploded, and the tree, from the force of that, dried up. Okay. Parcha de Bei Zeradta Shidi. We said the shadim that fly around and hang around a Zeradta tree are called Shidi. The name of them is Shadim. And the Gemara continues, Ha Zerabta b'smichal masa, when you have such a Zerabta tree near the city, like Pachsa Meshitin Shidi, you'll never have less than 60 Shadim that hang out by such a tree. Mausho Udir points out, there are 60 letters in Birkas Koyanim. Zelo Maseh also Elikim, the 60 letters of Birkas Koyanim have special power to protect against Mazikim. That's why we had before, when we started the whole Sugya and talked about Zugas, we had different opinions that there's no problem with 8 or with 6 or with 4, because that's already past the number of letters and the number of words in the respective Brachas of Birkas Koyanim. Since Zelo Maseh also Elikim, so there has to be some place where you find a minimum of 60 Shadim, and that will be under this type of tree. When it's near a town. Again, my nafkamina, why is that important to know? One shed is just as dangerous as 60, isn't it? And again, the reason is, l'michtav l'kameya, if you're going to write a kameya, you have to know how many shadim are there. As you have an example, ahu barkasha demasa, there was a barkasha from a city. Rashi and the Rashbam have slightly different gersois about the meaning of barkasha. One is that he was a shomer of the city, a watchman, and the other is that he was a shoiter of the city, a policeman. Whatever the case, he was some kind of official in the city. De Ozil, Vakoy Gabiz Rabta Dabas Somichlamasa, he one time went and was standing under a Zerabta tree near a city. Olabe Shitin Shidi, sure enough, he was attacked by 60 Shade and Vistakan. He was dangerously sick. So he went to a Talmid Chacham who did not realize that this is a Zerabta that has 60 shadim in it. He thought a Zerabta has a shed. Fine. So one shed, he didn't realize it has so many. So he wrote out a Kameya saying, you shed in the singular, get out of here. Then this is either the Talmud Chacham or the Bar Kasha went there. Shama the Tolu Chinga Begavei. Then he heard the Shadim are hanging a chinga in the tree. A chinga can either be a type of musical instrument or it can mean a dance. So either it means they're putting up a musical instrument and playing it, like they have a celebration, or it means they're dancing. Whatever it is, the Kamashu Hochi, and they were singing a song like this. Sudre de Mar Kitzurim and Abanan. This guy who wrote this Kameya, he wears a sudr like a Talmud Chacham. A sudr is a type of turban that in those times Talmud Chachamim would wear, especially after they were married. So here he dresses like a Talmud Chacham. Badikne Bebemar, but we Shadim have checked out this Talmud Chacham. Dolayada Baruch, he doesn't even know the bracha. He doesn't know that when you put on the sudr, you're supposed to make the bracha Oter Yisrael B'Sifara. Did they actually mean that he literally doesn't know the bracha, or were they just exaggerating and saying he doesn't know anything about us shadim? So as far as we're concerned, he might as well be that kind of amoritz as well. Anyway, then another Talmud Chacham came who knew the facts, as we said before, that such a tree has 60 shadim, kosev l'kameh the shit and shidi, and he wrote out a kameh telling 60 shadim to get out of there. Shama de Kamu, now he heard them saying, get your kalim out of here, because now we've all been kicked out of here. We have to go find another Zerabta tree or another something else to live under. So we see, in other words, that when you're, when you're dealing with Shadim and Bechlau, also, when you're dealing with whatever Shadim represent in a person's life, including, as the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, you have Taivas for Dvarim Amutorim, Taivas for Dvarim Asurim. You have to know what you're dealing with in order to be able to counteract it effectively. That seems to be the hurrah from this piece of Gemara. Next, the Gemara says, now, you have in Hazinu, when it describes the difficulties, the peronis that the Jewish people are going to face, it mentions Ketev Miridi. Ketev literally means cutting off, and Miridi means bitterness. So the Gemara is going to explain that's a name of a type of shed. So actually, Tre Katovi Habu, there's two types of shed called Ketev. Chad Mikami Tira, v'chad Boser Tira. One is more prevalent in the morning. One has power in the morning, and the tiara means the noon, like tsarayim in Lashon Kodesh, and the other one in the afternoon. The one from the morning is called ketamiri. Now here you have two different girsos. The girsa we have in front of us is it looks kikadir kamcha v'hoder be'bachsha, means it looks like a jar of kamcha. Kamcha is a dip that they had in the times of the Gemara. It was made out of sour milk, moldy breadcrumbs, and salt. The Gemara mentions it in various places in Shas under the name kamcha or kotach. So according to the Girsa we have in front of us, this shed looks like a jar of that, but Hadarbe Baksha with a spoon stirring around in it. The other Girsa, which it seems that Rashi and the Rashbam had, is that Umechzi Bey Kadr Kamcha Vahadarbe Baksha, meaning it appears in the jar of Kamcha looking like a spoon that's stirring around. So is it that the shed itself looks like the jar of Kamcha with the spoon, or is it just that it appears in the jar of Kamcha as a spinning spoon, whichever Girsa you accept, whichever Girsa you follow? The Basar Tira, the one that appears in the afternoon, Keshev Ketev Yoshud Tsar Roim Shmei. That one is called, as we have in the Pasuk in Tillim, where we say, Loisirim Pachad Loilim, Chetzi Yof Yom, Bedevim Barif Yalof, Ketev Yoshud Tsar Roim. So that one, that's the name of the afternoon shed. It looks like a goat's horn with a sieve spinning around it. Or again, the other gear say it appears on a goat's horn, looking like a spinning sieve. What hurrah can we learn from this? Again, I haven't found anything in Mefarshim. We do find earlier in the Masechta, it talks about the Kamcha, they would call it Kotach, whatever, it's very bad for a person's health. The Gemara mentions over there, it's Metamtim Asalev, and among other things, it closes up a person's heart and makes him, and then bows his stature, it makes it bent, causes his back to end up getting bent, and makes him lose some of his eyesight, because each of the ingredients in and of itself is bad for you. Maybe then the idea is, in other words, that first of all, such a kind of thing is first of all more likely to attract Kirchas HaTurma anyway, but in particular, when we consider what that Metamtim HaSalev, what it means on a Ruchniistic level, maybe the idea is that therefore such a thing is more likely to attract Shadim, or that such a thing, when a person feels in himself that he's feeling that Timtum HaLev from Kamcha, then he should realize what he's dealing with over here and know to take steps against it. As far as the goat's horn, you find Bechlau that a goat symbolizes the goat's very name is Az, related to Azus. So there is a positive type of Azus after all. The famous vort they say is, you know, when it says in Pirkei Avos, Az ponim legehenim or Borshes ponim legan Eden, a chassidish type that they give on it is the Az ponim, the one who has the breitkeit to go out and then transform the world. He can go into the Gehenim and transform it as the shluchim do, whereas the Borshes ponim has to stay in the Gan Eden of Crown Heights or whatever it is. So, but on the other hand, Azus can be a negative thing. So maybe we're saying over here, therefore, that also it can attract this kind of these kinds of koichas haturma. A person has to be careful to use it properly. So the Gemara tells Abaya have a ka'ozel be'urcha. One time Abaya was walking on the road, his two Talmidim are walking respectively on his right and his left. Tosfos actually points out Rapapa wasn't literally walking right exactly to the right of Abaya, because the Gemara says elsewhere a person is not supposed to walk directly to the right of his Rebbe. It means he was walking a little bit behind him, but basically to his right. Anyway, Chazilahu Ketev Meridi. Person should not walk directly next to his Rebbe, the Gemara says elsewhere. What he should do is, now he shouldn't walk behind him either. What he should do is he should walk, so if the Rebbe is here, for example, the Talmud won't walk directly next to him, but rather hold a little back.
The Rebbe is always in front of them.
So the Rebbe is always in front of them, seems to be the idea, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Chazulahu Ketev Miridi to Kaosila Habi Smale, then Abaya saw there's a Ketev Miridi, the morning type shed that's coming towards his right. That's coming to his left, rather. So he told the Talmidim to switch places. He moved Rapapa to the left and Rabhuna Bereda Rishur to the right. So Rapapa asks, you're not worried about me that I might get attacked by the shed? So Abaya tells him, you don't have to worry. At Shaita Kaimalach, the hour stands up for you, meaning you're rich. We find in different places in Shas that a papa was rich, and you have mazel, so you don't have to worry. You're immune to this. You're immune to this type of shed. Whereas apparently the implication is Rabbuna Bereda Rishua is not, and therefore I need to protect him by moving him to the other side. So the Gemara continues. Mechad b'Tamuz ad Shitza bei vade shrichim. From the 1st through the 16th of Tammuz, definitely these two types of ketev will be found around. Mikan ve'elach, after that, from Shivas of Tammuz and on, sofik shchichi, sofik le shchichi. It's a sofik whether you're going to encounter them or not. There is actually a different place where it says And this is brought and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, or I think in the Noisa Kalim of Shulchan Aruch or whatever, that there's a different place where it says actually Fakir, that from Shiva Sabatamas until Tisha B'Av, during the 3 weeks, that every day from the fourth hour to the ninth hour of the day, so say from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., then these two ketevs are around and about, and therefore they're talk. I think the Mishnah Berurah talks about, therefore a person maybe should be careful not to go alone during that time, because b'chalal you have, for example, in Shulchan Aruch it says that during the 3 weeks, even though during the rest of the year a father, if necessary, can give his kids a patch or a rebbe his talmidim, during the 3 weeks the shtaka can be more careful about that. So that fits also with this idea that these koches atuma are more prevalent during that time, and therefore you have to take extra care. Maybe if I can't, since the Gemara is saying over here that from Shiva to Tammuz and Anz is only a suffix whether you'll find them, maybe it depends whether you're using the 3 weeks in the right way. Then if you use them in the right way, then you don't have to worry about them, Hashem. And if not, then you have this other thing that says that Fakir, they're more prevalent during that time. The point was, we're saying that a papa was he said shaita kaimaloch, your hour stands up for you, meaning in other words, you have mazel, so you don't have to worry about being attacked by the shed. Where is it? Okay, the Gemara continues. Or mishtakhi, where are you more likely to find these types of shed? Betuli dechatzva delechotzav garmida. You're more likely to find them in the shade of a chotzav that has not grown a height of an amma. A chotzav is a type of plant which has roots that grow straight down deep into the ground. So much so they grow so straight down. The Gemara mentions in Baba Basra, when Yeshua divided up the land among the Shvatim, he had them plant chotzav bushes along the borders, so that way it would be very clear where each shevet's border begins and ends. So now the chotzav eventually there is a plant in Israel now in Eretz Yisrael, even nowadays, that in modern Hebrew they call it chatzav, in English it's called squill, which taka does have. It has a bulb that grows very deep underground and is very hard to pull out of the ground. And afterward, eventually, when it flowers, it produces this tall column of flowers. Maybe that's the same plant the Gemara is talking about over here. So before it grows that tall column of flowers, then it's a place where shadim tend to hang out. Over tulid tsafro panya delehavigamida, you'll also find them in shadows in the morning and in the evening that are not an amma long, meaning in the morning and the evening, the shadows are very long. But if you have a tiny object, it's not going to cast much of a shadow, even at those times of day. So that's where shadim tend to lurk. The ikka, betulid, basically, the main place where they're to be found is in the shadows of a bath. Okay. Now that we finished talking about shadim, now the Gemara is going to go on to talk about other kinds of things that are harmful to a person's health. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Tlas Mili Yohir Arboinu L'Nehoira. There are three things that a person does that cause him to lose his eyesight. Arboinu, Rashi Taitra says, Ivore in blindness. So, like, instead of normal eyesight, he ends up becoming blind. Rav Yosef himself, we know, famously was blind, laughed after many of these three things, but anyway. The first one is mandasorik reshe yovish, person who combs his hair when it's dry, or mandashosi tif, when a person drinks, when you have, for example, from a barrel, there are drops dripping one by one from the barrel, and he leans over and drinks from those drops. Those, that's bad for his eyesight. And the third one, mandasoyim masane admaisne kara. And the third one is when a person puts on his shoes when his feet are still wet. Again, between the shtanu ativim and a variety of other reasons, we're not generally nizhar in these things nowadays. Next, he continues, tloy bebesa, if a person hangs up bread, if a person hangs up food, and particularly bread, in his house, koshala aniyusa, it's bad, it's harmful, it can bring a person to be poor. Kedamri inchi, as people say, tola silta, tola mizonis. He hung up his basket and he hung up his mizonis. In other words, like he now made it like his mizonis are unstable, like a hanging basket that could fall down any moment. However, v'leyamon elarifta, however, that applies only to bread. Avo bisra v'kavri leslanba. If a person hangs up meat or fish, there's no problem. Urchehi, that's normal. Those are things that are normally hung up. Another thing, pori bebesa, when there's bran in the house, koshala aniyusa, it's also bad. It can bring a person to be poor. There's an explanation that it means particularly when a person has bread made out of bran in his house. In other words, he's too cheap to buy normal bread for his family. So then, if he's going to be cheap like that, then the Eibishter says in that case, then why does that person need to have any money at all? Another one, nishvara bebeisa koshal aniyusa. When there are crumbs in the house, it's also koshal aniyusa. In fact, the leila shabbos is a leila revius shorim azikin elavei on Friday nights and on Tuesday nights, which as the gemara is going to say later, are times when shadim are more prevalent around. Because it says over there that I think. Rav Chanina ben Dosa, I think it is, told them that they can't be around any other nights, only those nights, because people aren't around much on those nights. So therefore, they tend to hang out on these crumbs, particularly. Continues the Gemara. Isoda de Mizoni Nokid Shmei. The Malach in charge of Mizoni, in charge of Parnosa, is named Nokid, which is in the Lashon clean. So that Malach is attracted to clean places. On the other hand, the Malach of poverty is named Novel. We're like Omer Novel Beliba, and the kid means lowly and filthy and whatever. So in other words, there's the idea is when a person has a clean house, and that's what we're mentioning, the crumbs over here, then it tends to attract the Malach of cleanliness, which is also the Malach of Parnosa and Mizonis. In fact, there's a Gemara in Cholin that tells a story that one time there was this guy eating, and there was this guy who was always very, very careful to sweep up the crumbs after he would eat. One time he's eating on the grass. So now the Malach of poverty thinks, oh, now I for sure got him. He's not going to possibly be able to clean up all the crumbs. But what does the guy do? He brings a shovel and starts digging up all the dirt in order to make sure that he got every single crumb. So the Malach gave up on it. There are Gemaras in other places, by the way, that mention an interesting idea. They used to have, in a house, they would have a bed. The Gemara mentions in a few places called Arsa de Gada, which means the bed of Mazel. And the idea is it would be a nicely made up bed, and they would have it in the house as a symbol of Mazel. That Mephoshim explained that fits with our Gemara over here. Since the Malach of Parnosa and riches, it likes clean places, therefore you prepare a bed for him that's always nicely made up, and therefore he's more likely to be attracted to your house, and that way he becomes the Kevi through which the Eivishter gives Mizonah Revit.
That would be the clean ladies tell the wife to send them off.
I don't know if it means that Dafka has to be the lady of the house that cleans. If a cleaning lady is cleaning it, it's also clean. The ikkar is that it should be clean one way or the other. If it takes a cleaning lady and give your wife a break, then so be it. What? Yeah, the Malach of riches, the Malach of the Parnosa likes the cleanliness. That's what we're saying. If I can't, the Malach of poverty likes it to be dirty. So if I can't, do whatever it takes to keep your house clean. And if that means hiring a cleaning lady and giving your wife a break, then by all means. All right, Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. So they ever talked about Mashiach Tekenu can come take from Yad Mamash, and therefore the third base of Mikdash can come down take from Yad Mamash already built. That means conceivably we could be bringing the Tomacha Ben Abayim today already. And the Hadlocha Samanoda, where the Halacha is the first Hadlocha Samanoda, has to be Ben Abayim. So all of these things are possible even today. Now, the Rebbe says, when people, the Jews, hear these kinds of things, they get startled, they get frightened. But you should know, the Torah doesn't get frightened off of these things. Look, I'll be told the Beis Mikdash HaShlishi is going to come, as Rashi says in a few places in Shas, Bonu Meshuchlo, Yigolu V'yavim Min HaShemayim, Aaron and Bonu V'moshe Yimar are going to come. We're not even going to need Hazoas Shlishi Yushvi, because they're already Torah, the Gemara establishes, in Nida that they're not Tommy Mess, like Shriyava Moshe Aaron Imaim, then the Torah is Balabas on the Metzius of the world, like we talked about before, that the Halacha determines reality. So therefore, when the Torah is not scared, then there's no reason for Jews to be scared of this kind of talk either. Continuing on Halachas of Shabbos, a person needs to bathe on Erev Shabbos, at least his face, hands, and feet in hot water. If possible, he should bathe his whole body in hot water and tovel in a mikveh. Actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says that maybe a person shouldn't wash his whole body because then it may interfere with Tashmish that night, but I don't think we find any other poskim saying such a thing. There is also a din in that connection. A person is not allowed to bathe, or pashtus, it would include going to the mikveh with his father, his father-in-law, his stepfather, or his sister's husband. Earlier in the Gemara in Pesachim, it mentions that all of these can cause hearing. If it's a place where they regularly cover themselves, it's mutter. And the same way a Talmud shouldn't bathe together with his Rebbe, but if his Rebbe needs him to help him, then it's mutter. On the Maisa, I don't think we see people are not nizer in that, but in why that is, I don't know. Maybe. Kids with their father, or people with, or an edim with a shver or whatever. I don't think I've ever seen people on nizer with that nowadays. Why that is, I don't know. Okay.